From the Christian Research Institute in Charlotte, North Carolina, this is the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. We're on the air because life and truth matter. On today's special edition of the Bible Answer Man, we present another episode of the Hank Unplugged podcast. Hank's guest is Justin Brierley, host of Unbelievable, the flagship apologetics and theological debate program of Premier Christian Radio based in the United Kingdom. Here now is Hank Hanegraaff.
And welcome to another edition of the Hank Unplugged podcast. Our mission, as we've said many times, is to bring the most interesting, informative, inspirational people on the planet direct to you via conversations. Today, I have a very special Hank Unplugged podcast with Justin Brierley. He's the host of Unbelievable. This is a broadcast and a podcast that is based in the United Kingdom, and it is the flagship apologetics and theology debate program of a great radio network called Premier Christian Radio. And for more than a decade, Justin has been moderating in-depth discussions with Christians and skeptics, as well as debates, I should say, among Christians on very critical topics. He has a background in drama, in studies in philosophy, politics, economics, all at Oxford University. He's married. His wife, Lucy, is a minister of a church in Surrey, England. And he is the author of a very significant book. I had a lot of fun reading it the other day. It's called Unbelievable: Why, After 10 Years of Talking with Atheists, I Am Still a Christian. As host of Unbelievable, Justin has run into all kinds of common objections. Objections like, I don't need to believe in God to be a good person. Or how can God be the source of morality when the Bible is so full of immorality? And then the hands-down favorite of atheist professors, my kids have run into this one, the Euthyphro dilemma. It's, of course, named after one of Plato's famed dialogues. The dialogue purportedly puts the Greek gods and vicariously the God of the Bible on the horns of a dilemma. Is something good because the gods will it? Or do the gods will it because it's good? Of course, in truth, this is nothing short of a false dilemma. Perhaps I'd call it a ruse. Because by saying that something is good, because it reflects the nature of God, good and evil, right and wrong, are therefore neither arbitrary nor autonomous. God wills what he wills because he is good, and what he wills is right because it is reflective of and consistent with his nature. Now, the point of all of this is that when we get out of our own echo chambers, when we get out of our own psycho-epistemological cocoons and listen to opposite points of view, we discover that what is posited oftentimes as a dilemma in reality is no dilemma at all. If Plato's Euthyphro serves a purpose, it is to teach us to question the question rather than assuming that the question is valid. And I say all of that because this is precisely what my Hank Unplugged guest does on his broadcast and his podcast. Again, they're called Unbelievable. He's positing provocative questions, and he's allowing those listening in to make up their own minds. And this has become a phenomenon all over the UK and now all over the world. And that is why I am delighted to have Justin Brierley with me on the Hank Unplugged podcast. Welcome.
Thank you so much, Hank, and I can only hope I can live up to that tremendous introduction that you gave me.
Well, reading your book, you've already lived up to the introduction, and I understand that the downloads are in the millions.
Yes, yes. It just seems to be growing each year. I think we clocked about 3 million downloads last year, and I think we're looking at probably getting 3.5 million by the end of this year, looking at the way it's going. So it's great that people seem to be really enjoying the show. I keep hearing of new people who are picking it up. And this is both Christians and non-Christians, which is really thrills me, because I love that the show has become a place where we have those kinds of dialogues, which seem to attract both sides to the conversation.
You know, before I get into how you started doing the show, I was very interested as I read through your book about how your wife, Lucy, and you, when you were married, spent a year working with the Odibo mission in Namibia. I think that's on the southwest coast of Africa. That seems to be a really influential time in your life. It sort of set the tone for what you're doing now.
Yeah, to some extent. I mean, certainly all of those experiences were quite influential. So Lucy and I got married sort of fairly soon after leaving university. We met at Oxford. She had studied theology. I had done politics, philosophy, and economics. And before we settled into married life and careers and that kind of thing, we thought we'd love to go somewhere, do something that we might not have the opportunity to do otherwise. And that took us to Namibia, working on a kind of rural Anglican mission station with a hospital, a school, and a church, and really just settling in and doing life with the people there for about 8 months. We made great friends. We really got to know the people. And we were able to teach and be involved with the church there and just have some wonderful experiences, cross-cultural ministry. And really, yeah, I guess it opened our eyes, as did other experiences we had actually working among multicultural congregations in London, for instance, of the fact that Christianity is a diverse faith. And it's great to see the way it is expressed and lived in all kinds of different cultures. It reminded me and has stayed with me of the fact that the reason Christianity has gone around the world is because it is not, as some other religions are, culturally located in that sense. It is the kind of faith which bends and adapts to every culture, even with those core truths still being the same. And for me, that was sort of evidenced by our time in Namibia, where I saw the transformative effect of Christianity on the culture there. And that was great to be able to witness.
And you also, I'm sure, saw the transformative impact of having conversations. As you just pointed out, listening to another point of view from another culture, from people that don't have an orientation that you grew up with, those conversations are now emblematic of what you do on the show, it seems.
Absolutely, yeah. And certainly, I think every conversation I've had in that sort of very formative time in the gap year we took before coming back to the UK, at university as well, where I inevitably crossed paths with many people of different worldviews and perspectives, they all helped to shape what I would be doing later on the show. And in many ways, even my wife, you know, when I met her, she came from a very different Christian tradition to me when we met. And we had to work that out between us. We weren't sure initially whether this was going to work between us because, you know, we had some fairly different views about church and about some aspects of theology. But I think actually those conversations and the way that we sort of found the best in each other's perspectives did help to help me to then have conversations later on where we're not just seeking to dismantle other people, but we're trying to truly understand where they're coming from. And I think that probably has helped in my own ability to hopefully moderate these debates in a fruitful kind of way.
Yeah, something you talk about in the book is we get stuck in our own linguistic hall of mirrors, our own echo chamber, what I like to call a psycho-epistemological cocoons. We get stuck and we can't really understand other arguments because we're only listening to the arguments from people that have our perspective. And your show really breaks that mold.
Yeah, I hope so. I hope that Christians who listen will better understand where the atheist, agnostic, Muslim, whoever is coming from. They will obviously hopefully hear a good reasoned defense of Christianity, but I don't think they'll only hear that. They will hopefully hear some of the things that maybe a non-believer finds irritating or disrespectful or illogical about Christianity. And that may well help them to reframe and rethink the way that they carry their faith themselves. And equally, my hope, of course, is that non-believers, atheists, agnostics, other faiths will hear from the Christian representative, something that perhaps helps them to reframe and rethink what the other side are doing. I rarely find that, I mean, you know, it's not that every atheist who listens becomes a Christian, not by any length, but most people who come along to the show as sort of pretty hard-boiled atheists, if they stick with the show, in general, I find at the very least, they will say, well, I may not be convinced yet, Justin, but at least it's challenged my preconception that Christians are just, you know, airheaded people who believe in fairy tales. I don't think you can listen to that many editions of the show and come away with that misconception of Christianity, which I think is a good thing.
Don't go away. In just a few moments, we'll rejoin Hank Hanegraaff's conversation with Justin Brierley. Respectful, reasonable conversation is vital to a free society. Yet good conversations about biblical faith have been increasingly squeezed out of the public sphere. Seeking to reopen the debate, Justin Brierley began to invite atheists and skeptics onto Premier Christian Radio to air arguments for and against the Christian faith. But how has 10 years of discussion with atheists affected Brierley's faith? Find out in Unbelievable, Why After 10 Years of Talking with Atheists, I'm Still a Christian. To receive your copy of Unbelievable as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. That's equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast will return in just a few moments.
For decades, Hank Hanegraaff has shared the truth of the historic Christian faith by answering questions over the radio, defending the faith through the written word, and preaching from pulpits around the globe. Today, he is ready to share his life in Christ, as detailed in his most profoundly personal piece of penmanship to date, Truth Matters, Life Matters More. Hank feels closer to Christ than ever before and wants you to learn from his experiences, as recounted in Truth Matters, Life Matters More, so that you can join him on life's greatest journey, the journey toward union with God in Christ. To receive your copy of Truth Matters, Life Matters More, The Unexpected Beauty of an Authentic Christian Life, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us at equip.org.
Anyone who's been paying attention knows there's a war going on, not just on traditional morality, civility, and decency, but even more fundamentally on historic notions of truth. And the enemy isn't just the onslaught of fake news facilitated by a post-truth culture and turbocharged by growing legions of ideological spin doctors. No, the real enemies of truth range from postmodernist convictions that there is no objective truth to militant scientism that claims that only science can determine truth, and religion is little more than primitive superstitions. But CRI support team members are not waving a white flag of surrender. They're holding the fort by undergirding every one of Christian Research Institute's mind-shaping and life-changing outreaches 24/7. To learn how you can make a difference and enjoy all the benefits of support team membership, simply visit equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. The Christian Research Journal's primary commitment is to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. In keeping with this commitment, the journal's mission is both evangelistic and pastoral, furthering the proclamation and defense of the historic gospel of Jesus Christ, and helping his followers distinguish between essential Christian doctrine and doctrine that is peripheral, aberrant, or heretical. In an age of subjectivism and moral relativism, may Christians ground their faith and values in the objective, reliable testimony of Holy Scripture. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org.
That's equip.org.
Let's rejoin Hank Hanegraaff and Justin Brierley in their conversation.
How did you get involved in doing this show in the first place?
Well, I'd been working for a few years at Premier Christian Radio in the UK. I'd learned the basics of broadcasting, interviewing, and I was kind of itching to get my own spot in the schedule. And so I just came up with this idea. I thought, we're really good as a radio station at talking to Christians about Christian things, equipping Christians in their personal lives and so on. But I didn't feel like we were really breaking out of that Christian bubble too much. And the fact is that most of the Christians that we were broadcasting to lived among secular neighbors and family and work colleagues. And so I wanted to create a spot in our schedule where we could model the kinds of conversations that they might be having to have with people around them. And that was where Unbelievable was born. Unbelievable with a question mark, because we're simply asking, are the claims of Christianity unbelievable or are they not? And I hoped that by having a sort of space, you know, an hour and a half on a Saturday afternoon, we would give Christians who were listening the tools to start to have those kinds of conversations. It was a little bit experimental. And to be honest, we did get some complaints to begin with, because some people didn't like hearing atheist voices on their Christian radio station, quite understandably. But there were lots who did, who really understood the mission of the program. And to his credit, our CEO, the station manager, said, no, we're going to stick with this. And I think this is worth it. And nearly 13 years later, Unbelievable, still going strong. And what we didn't see was the way it would explode really as a podcast and actually start to acquire a lot of non-Christians listening to it as well. And that, as I say, has been very exciting.
What's exciting to me as I read through your book is the art of having a good conversation. I mean, this is applicable to everybody. And I think you have some great insights on that art. It's an art and a science. I mean, there's some rules apply, but the more you do it, the better you get at it. So talk about the art and science of having good conversations.
Yeah, I think it is something where, in all honesty, practice is what makes it happen. You know, there are some things you can learn with theory, but there are some things you have to do to really learn how to do it. And I think having conversations is one of those. I think you have to be obviously open to hearing the other side. A conversation is not a conversation unless you're genuinely listening and trying to understand the other person's perspective. I think integrity is very important as well. Being willing to admit when you don't have an answer. I mean, the worst thing I see is when Christians try to claim knowledge that they simply don't have and end up digging themselves an awfully great hole in the process. Because people can smell it when you're just trying to win an argument from a mile off. And, you know, I think there is a place for that debate, for the kind of sort of more point scoring type of strategic debate. There can be some value in that. I think generally people are more interested in hearing genuine conversations rather than hearing a point scoring exercise. And that's why in general, I'm increasingly finding, even on public stages where I'm invited to moderate discussions and debates, less and less are people setting up kind of the formal debate that you might have seen, you know, 10, 20 years ago. People are much more interested in actually just having a sit down conversation. And I think you've seen that in some pretty interesting cases of in the secular sphere, you know, with Jordan Peterson and Sam Harris did a big tour where it was just the two of them sitting in these massive auditoriums with huge audiences. They just had a conversation for an hour and a half and loads of people turned out for it. I think people are engaged by intellectually stimulating conversation on some of the biggest issues by good thinkers. And so that's kind of what we've been trying to do in our little corner of the internet and the broadcasting world. Try to model what that would look like when you have a good conversation.
I really like what you just said, in essence, about humility. So you don't know the answer to our question. And I mean, we're all limited in time and space. We can't know everything there is to know about everything. Certainly I don't, after having done the Bible Answer Man broadcast for over 30 years. So you have to, at times, have the humility to say, you know, I don't know what the answer to that question is. And then you research in return. And I do think that gives you a lot of credibility, but I think even more from a practical standpoint, what that allows you to do is find out what that answer is. So next time you do have a well-reasoned answer to a question you didn't have any fix on before.
Yeah. And it actually gives you the opportunity to keep the conversation going, actually. I think, you know, saying, I don't know, but I'll go and try and find out. Let's talk again. Is a great answer to give someone if you're in that kind of a situation. Because at the end of the day, yeah, a conversation is one where you should be willing to grow and learn in the process, as well as the other person hopefully being in that position as well. So I have learned so much in the conversations I've had the privilege of moderating. You know, I could only write the book that I wrote because I had had that opportunity to sit and listen to people on both sides having these fantastic conversations. And so I think that's probably what a lot of people get from listening to Unbelievable. They come away with a much greater understanding of the issues and also the kind of people who are involved in putting them across and how to best make the case if they're wanting to make a case in one direction or the other. It's not just about having the facts. It's about the way you hold yourself when you're making that case as well.
By the way, you are a terrific writer. How did you learn the art of writing?
That's very kind of you to say.
That's true. It's a very interesting read. When I first saw the book, I got to tell you, the first thing I thought is, you know, same old, same old. I've heard, you know, all these apologetic arguments, and you know, I've seen dozens and dozens of books, and they reworked them a little bit. But this is a really interesting read.
That's extremely kind. Thank you. I'm fortunate to have, as I say, a wealth of these interesting conversations to draw on to illustrate the book. I've also been fortunate. My career with Premier, which is more than just a radio station, it also encompasses websites, video, and magazines as well. Well, that included 4 years editing Premier Christianity magazine, which is kind of the UK equivalent of Christianity Today in the USA. It's a non-denominational magazine aimed at Christians in the UK and beyond. I was writing for them for several years before that as well. And so it was really in the process of really writing as a journalist regularly for the magazine that I started to develop my skills under a very good editor at the time, Ruth Mawinney. I then went on to become the editor after she moved on for 4 years. And again, that was very good. I was doing a lot of writing during that time, editing other people's writing, which I think helps to develop your own creativity and thinking as well. And so by the time I sat down to write the book, I had an awful lot of articles I'd written myself on some of these issues to draw upon as kind of source material, if you like. And writing magazine articles does teach you the art of being concise, trying to make sure you engage people's attention from the first paragraph. And it's quite a good exercise, actually, in simply writing chapters. Every chapter I kind of treated like a lengthy article, and I sort of applied the same sort of principles that I do to my magazine articles. And I knew that I was writing for probably a similar kind of person as I was writing for in the magazine. And so for me, there was a very natural step from editing and writing articles in that magazine to writing this book. So I think that will help.
I kind of like the story of you and Lucy and how you posit that. And then the unpredictable sentence, oh, and reader, I married her.
Well, I'm borrowing a line from Jane Austen there, obviously. And there's a sense in which it's just a fun little, yeah. I think humor is good in writing. I think these days, you could write an apologetics book that's terribly serious and po-faced. I think it's good to just throw in some levity. Otherwise, you know, these rather serious topics can become, you know, a little bogged down, and it's always good to lighten the atmosphere occasionally, I think.
But I've seen a lot of people moderate debates, and let's say there's a Christian moderating a debate between another Christian and an atheist. Oftentimes what you have is two against one. How do you moderate debates? Do you moderate them in an even-handed fashion, or do you weigh in with your own perspective?
I don't know. I just seem to have been given a character that can be quite calm in those sorts of situations. A certain amount of equanimity is needed in order to facilitate these kinds of discussions. And I think I'm very aware the guests are there to make the case. I'm there to facilitate the discussion. I'm not there to gang up on either side. That's not to say I don't sometimes come in on one side or the other. If I feel, say, one side is having a lot of the upper hand, I might, you know, come in on the other side just to put a point back. But I'll try to do that in a way that hopefully gets the best out of the debate. I hope that at least not too often my own prejudices or biases don't too often influence things. That said, I'm as human as the next person, and there are inevitably going to be times when my own feelings or thoughts color the way the conversation goes and the kinds of angles I want to take it down inevitably. One of my favorite apologetic arguments for God is the moral argument. And one of the things that most likely you'll hear me probably weighing in myself with and starting to get involved in the conversation is if I hear an atheist, for instance, who doesn't believe in objective morality, using a lot of moral language about how you ought to believe this and things shouldn't be this way. And that's the point where I will quite often step in and say, hang on a minute, how are you helping yourself to all these oughts and shoulds if there is no objective moral standard to which we are beholden? Because I often feel that is one area where there's a glaring contradiction in many atheists that I meet. They haven't really thought that through. And if there's any one issue that I sometimes will press in on an atheist with, it's sometimes that moral issue.
Well, we've run out of time for today's special edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Be sure to tune in again next time when we will continue Hank Hanegraaff's conversation with the host of Unbelievable, Justin Brierley. In appreciation for your gift to help strengthen and expand the life-changing outreaches of the Christian Research Institute, Hank would like to send you Justin Brierley's book, Unbelievable: Why After 10 Years of Talking with Atheists, I'm Still a Christian. Simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. That's equip.org. You can also write to CRI, Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter.
Hank Hanegraaff has dedicated his life to defending truth because truth matters. Yet an encounter with Christians in the underground church of China left Hanegraaff contemplating his Christian experience. They were experiencing something beyond truth. They were experiencing life. Truth Matters, Life Matters More by Hank Hanegraaff is two books in one. Because Truth Matters, Part 1 equips Christians to defend the essential truths of the historic Christian faith. In Part 2, Hank explains why life matters more and how we can experience the height of human existence, union with God. Prepare to move past intellectually knowing about God to experientially knowing God in Christ. To receive your copy of Truth Matters, Life Matters More, The Unexpected Beauty of an Authentic Christian Life, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us at equip.org.